Now more with Frank Gaffney.
One of the highlights of the opportunity to broadcast from the Conservative Political Action Conference is I'm finding the chance to catch up with old friends who I don't see nearly often enough. We've been able to speak to some of them with regularity, and that is true of our next guest. He is Richard Pollack, one of the best investigative reporters of our time. These days, hanging his hat and doing his reporting from a really important online resource, the Daily Caller. He heads its investigative project. He is also the veteran of many distinguished media outlets, from Fox News to ABC News. In any event, a man who knows his way around reporting and also this town, this swamp, they call it. Richard Pollack, it's very good to have you. Welcome back. So glad to catch up with you in person.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
Well, I thought I might begin because you had an opportunity to actually hear the President of the United States on the other side of doors that I've been looking at while he's been speaking. The remarks have just concluded. Give us your immediate impressions.
This was classic Trump. This was vintage Donald Trump. I think one of the more memorable, there are many memorable lines, but one that really stuck to me and actually was one of the many standing ovations that he got from this this crowd, and that was, he said, "We do not worship government, we worship God." Mm. And it brought people to their feet. He also talked about the forgotten American, an important theme for his entire campaign, something that pollsters did not detect. They probably haven't polled them for many, many years. And the mass media has just ignored them and, in some cases, too often ridiculed the average American. It was something of a warm-up campaign speech to a certain extent, and sort of a warning, I think, to Democrats that they have to start talking about real issues if they're going to have a chance. You can talk about Russia as much as you want. You can talk about his mental stability. But when you have real money being put into the pockets of Americans, when you have new jobs being created, he talked about the fact that there's the lowest, in this speech, he talked about the fact, and he said this before, it's the lowest unemployment rate for African Americans and for Hispanics. Mm. And it is the lowest unemployment rate for women in 17 years.
Wow.
And then you have people's 401ks who are senior citizens seeing that their stock is going better, their money market and other kinds of equities are doing well. You see companies coming back and creating new jobs. You see all this money being repatriated from Europe and overseas. And they have to do something with the money, so they either have to buy something,
right,
invest in something, create more jobs.
Yeah. You know, this is so interesting, Richard, because as you say, these are real issues that real people care about. And yet what we're seeing so much of, and you know this town better than just about anybody, is what I call the lemming effect of people being driven primarily, let's be honest, by the Democrats and their friends in the media promoting their memes, by these notions that, they need to have gun control in order to deal with the problem that we just saw in Lakeland, Florida. Or we need to give an amnesty to the DACA kids because we have to deal with that particular problem. And let's go chase after these things where those forgotten Americans, if they actually are touched by either of those issues, and of course everybody's touched at an emotional level by a mass murder, but if they're touched by the solutions that are being proposed, they're likely to find them horrific and respond to the negative. So that brings me to, I guess, the basic question. In terms of the president's remarks, he's obviously speaking to a very favorably disposed crowd. But is it your professional assessment that he's actually resonating with the American people beyond CPAC, the conservatives here?
Well, let me tell you about something that Rasmussen just released this morning, which is their weekly survey of likely voters. And this last week, Donald Trump hit 50% approval rating.
Wow. And the from likely voters, not the whole population or whatever else they poll.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because Rasmussen is the only polling company that goes back to likely voters, not to people who are not going to vote or walked away. People who count in elections. And the highest he was prior to this was 45%. And I'm going to tell you something. That number, in my professional opinion, is related to the tax cut and all of its beneficial effects that we're beginning to see in real
rippling
ways.
Rippling through the economy.
Rippling through the economy. I suspect that most Americans, liberals, independents, conservatives, have probably never seen a real impact in their lives because of government. Mm. We hear about
a positive impact.
A positive impact, yes. Yeah. A positive impact.
Plenty of negative impacts.
Negative. Yeah. Right. And I think that that's why a lot of people really are turned off by Washington and the swamp. However, this might be the first time in a lot of people's lifetime that they can see real positive change, that they can feel, touch, and
spend.
Yeah.
But in a way, what's interesting, and of course a very appropriate theme for us here at this Conservative Political Action Conference, is that would be the exception in an instance in which you're getting government off their backs, or necks, as the case may be. Speaking of gun violence and mass murder, Richard Pollack of the Daily Caller, you have done an important and provocative piece recently in your investigative reporting about something that, honestly, in my 40 years in Washington and national policy, I've never, ever seen anything remotely like it, which is you had something like 50 Americans murdered and, you know, vastly larger numbers that were hurt in Las Vegas recently. And it has essentially disappeared. In terms of what happened there, who actually did it, why they did it, and so on. You raised some of questions of your own that need answering. Could you just quickly share with us your thoughts on the investigation and what we need to know at this point?
The Las Vegas shooting, in which 58 people were killed and more than 700 wounded, the largest single mass murder in American history, has disappeared from our headlines. Where are the reporters in America? Where is the sheriff? And what is he doing?
Where is the FBI? Well, we know where the FBI is.
We do know, unfortunately, where the FBI is. Right. But let me just say that I was intrigued about the number of unanswered questions related to this horrific shooting. And I did an investigative piece, as you said, in the Daily Caller.
Very important.
And there was a preliminary report. Mm-hmm. Now it's preliminary. We understand they can't answer everything. It comes out 4 months after the shooting. You think you're going to get some information. So what's missing? Well, the first thing that's missing is, why did he do it?
Right.
The second thing is, there's no financial profile of him. There's no profile of his friends. There's absolutely no information about why he should have had 18 guns for only one shooter. There are many, many questions lingering out there as to whether, in my opinion, whether or not he was working on behalf of someone, or whether he was a nut.
Or whether he was alone, actually, is one of my abiding questions here. It seems as though he may have intended to have company at the very least, as you say, with 18 of these high-powered weapons at his disposal.
And he had two rooms. Why do you need two rooms? The first room was a very, very large suite, a corner suite with wraparound windows, and he could have gotten any angle that he wanted.
Right. And he not only had two rooms, but he had two breaks in the windows from which he had shooting positions.
He had two shooting positions.
Seems unlikely that all that was for one guy. If I may, just to close this out, you're the best investigative reporter in town. I hope you'll get on this one, because there's a real story here. Richard Pollack of the Daily Caller, thank you so much for finding some time for us today and for the great work you do. Now at the Daily Caller and all that preceded it, thanks for being with us. As always, come back to us soon.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.